This is Thomas B. Warren with a presentation of 5 Gospel Minutes on the International Gospel Hour. For the past several days, we've been studying from the marvelous account of the conversion of the Philippian jailer and his household, as recorded in Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 34. We've been studying this from the standpoint of looking at the great lessons that we can learn from it. And already we have noted these lessons. Number one, that there can be no affinity of religious truth with religious error. Secondly, we learn how to react to trouble, not with self-pity, but with praise to God in prayer. Third, that we should take advantage of wayside opportunities to preach the gospel. Even if we're in prison, we should seek to preach it. Fourth, we should start with people where they are as we seek to teach them. We should not begin with a person who is a very beginner in religious matters as if he were a religious scholar. And fifth, we learn the essentiality of faith. One cannot be saved without believing in God, without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and without believing in the gospel. And now we come to the point that we note that while one is saved by faith, he is not saved by faith alone. The Bible teaches that we are saved by faith. Much more than being now justified by faith shall we be saved from the wrath of God through Him. We are saved by faith. We're saved by faith because the Bible plainly and simply teaches it. But nowhere, absolutely nowhere, does the Bible teach that we are saved by faith alone. In fact, James chapter 2, verse 24 teaches the exact opposite to that. You see that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Now, many people hold that the account of the Philippian jailer is an account in the Bible which shows that men are saved by faith alone. But this is simply not true. Paul and Silas did not say you're saved by faith alone. After teaching that he must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, notice carefully that the Bible says, and they preached unto him the word of the Lord. That is, with all of those who were in his house. They spake the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in his house. Now, what happened when they spake the word of the Lord? Well, of course, it means they spoke exactly the same gospel that the Apostle Peter did on the day of Pentecost. And what gospel did the Apostle Peter preach? He showed the people that Jesus was the Christ. He showed those Jewish people that as they were listening, they were to come face to face with the fact that the man Jesus Christ, whom they had been instrumental in leading Pilate to crucify, was really the Son of God. He said, as recorded in verse 22 of the second chapter of Acts, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God unto you by mighty works, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, even as ye yourselves know, him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye by the hand of lawless men did crucify and slay. And now notice carefully, whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Now, friends, this makes clear that Peter was preaching to these Jewish people who had been instrumental. He said, you by the hand of lawless men, that is, by the hand of men who were not under the law, by the hand of Gentiles, the Romans, had crucified him. Though they themselves did not nail him to the cross, they were instrumental in his being crucified. And as he comes down to the end of this first portion of his sermon in verse 36, and we'll not take the time to go into all the details of that sermon, in verse 36 he declares, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now you see, he is urging them to come to the point of faith in Christ, to come to knowledge that he's the Christ, and then to trust in him as the Son of God. Now, how do they react? Now the Bible tells us in verse 37, "Now when they heard that, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men, brethren, what shall we do?" This makes clear that they had become believers. They had indeed come to knowledge that God had made him both Lord and Christ, the one who had been crucified. And they did come to the point of trusting in him. Otherwise, they would not have asked what to do to be saved, for that certainly was what they were asking. What must we do? And now Peter replies, not in the words of modern-day preachers who would have told believers they have nothing to do, but he said, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, Peter was not preaching one gospel and Paul another. Peter made clear that believers are not saved until they both repent and are baptized unto or for the remission of sins. When the evangelist Philip preached unto the man of Ethiopia, as recorded in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, and preached to him Jesus, it is clear that in preaching Jesus, he made clear that the believer is not saved until he is baptized, that is, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of sin. Because when they came to a certain water, the Ethiopian said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip told him if he believed with all of his heart that Jesus was the Christ, he may. And he said that he did believe, so both of the men got out of the chariot, both of them went down into the water, and Philip immersed him or baptized him for the remission of his sins, and then and not until then did he go on his way rejoicing. Now you see, the Apostle Peter preached the gospel, Philip preached the gospel, or the Word of God, and now in Acts 16, Paul and Silas preached to this man and his family the Word of God. Friends, it's not enough to preach just some of the Word of God. We must preach all of it. That's what Paul and Silas did, and that's what we must do. And that includes the fact that the believer is not saved until he is baptized into Christ. But now in closing, let me thank you for listening today and plead with you to join us again for our next broadcast. This has been Thomas B. Warren speaking on 5 Gospel Minutes of the International Gospel Hour.